Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I am full of energy today. Brandon is going to have a lot of fun with me at the office. I don't know why.
But already.
I know you do, and I knew that was going to happen. But that's okay. That's part of why we're co-hosts, right? I'm full of energy, and you bring me down to earth. Now, one of the reasons I feel like I have a bunch of energy, now this is a little weird, but last night while the Rangers were losing, they were getting their asses kicked, I turned it off and said, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this. So I went, made some herbal mint tea, sat down to stretch, and stretched to the sound of rainforests. So there you go. That's, I think, that's why I think I have so much energy, and I got rid of the negative Rangers energy. So there wow. It is. I think we have a fantastic show today. There's a lot of games this weekend, and there's actually quite a few teams that have off days, so there's quite a few opportunities to take advantage of, and we cover quite a few of them today. So as usual, we'll review the week, give you weekend pickup suggestions, give you our high and low value picks for tonight, and that's about it. And one thing I wanted to mention that we hadn't before, we want to start putting out more things on our Twitter accounts, mostly just like, I think, let's say during the week in the middle when we don't have a podcast, like a Tuesday or a Thursday, and we notice somebody who is really, really hot on the wire and you should pick up, we want to start putting that on our Twitter accounts. So if you want to give us a follow, we'll put our Twitter accounts down in the bio or the description of this episode, and give us a follow, and we'll see. We'll try to keep it up as best we can, but a lot of the tips that we give here, we'll try to put them on the podcast as well, and that should kind of
help out. Twitter.
On the Twitter.
What? Rather on social. The Twitter.
Never mind. Maybe it won't be a good episode. Man. Okay. Anyways.
Too excited.
Too excited, too much energy. Okay, so let's review the week first. I'll go into it with starting with two guys that I mentioned quite a while ago and said, look, keep an eye on their average stats because they're under-owned in my opinion, and they're killing it. Mostly they were under-owned because their overall stats and their rank was low because they were out with injuries. The first one's going to be Kyle Palmieri. 2 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, a +3, 1 power play point, and 6 shots on goal. Not bad from him. I'm actually very, very bummed I missed out on him. I was going to pick him up, and someone picked him up that morning that I was going to. Fun. Someone I did get to pick up, and I love having, is David Perron. 2 games played, 2 goals, 1 assist, +2, 1 power play point, 1 game-winning goal, which was last night, and 4 shots on goal. And another guy who finally made it, finally is on the week's best players list, is Erik Karlsson. 2 games played, 1 goal, 2 assists, a 4-pim week, yes, 2 power play points, 1 game-winning goal, and 7 shots on goal. Good for him for finally making it. And 2 more here. Marc-Andre Fleury, 2 games played, 2 wins, 1.94 goals against average, and a .935 save percentage. And easily the best player of the week here for me is JT Miller. 1 game played, 1 broken glass from slamming his stick against it in frustration last night because they were getting murdered. So thank you, JT Miller. I feel you, and I wish I could do the same to a piece of glass.
You could. It's just probably going to get you in trouble. But
I am not JT Miller.
I also feel like I can't put JT Miller on the site for this because that's horrible advice. Anyway.
No, he does not belong on the site for sure. It's an exclusive if you listen to the podcast.
Yeah. For me, first up, Gabriel Landeskog. 2 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, 6 shots, 2 power play points, 3 hits, and 3 blocks. So we've already known with Landeskog you're going to get the peripherals, but he's been producing pretty consistently all season. So if you slept on him and he's somehow still available, you should probably be looking into him. But yeah, he's had a great week. Next up, Keith Yandel. 2 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, +2, 8 shots, 1 power play point, 1 block. It was kind of a question whether it was going to be Ekblad or Yandel. I was certain it was going to be Ekblad as like the guy in Florida, but apparently not. So if you stuck with Yandel, good for you. Next up, Kyle Connor. Who seems to make it on this list and then the week's worst list like every other week. So
he switches off.
Yeah. 2 games played, 2 goals, 1 assist, +2, 4 shots, 1 game winner, and 1 power play point. Not great peripherals, but still good to see him sort of bringing it back again, hopefully.
Even those minutes are dwindling.
Yeah. And then lastly here, Cam Fowler. Two games played, he had 3 assists, a plus 3, 2 shots, 1 power play point, 1 hit, and 3 blocks. Again, not very good peripherals, but he's the only Ducks defenseman that does anything. So, I guess other than Manson, who gets hits.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't know. Something good, I guess.
Okay, then moving on to week's worst players. I'll start with Matthew Barzal, your boy. 2 games played, a minus 5, and 3 shots on goal. Not great out of him. Rasmus Ristolainen, 2 games played, minus 2, 4 shots on goal. After kind of turning it around, he didn't have a great post-All-Star game week. Although there's still the weekend, so we'll see. Tyler Toffoli, 2 games played, minus 1, 3 shots on goal. Boy, oh boy, do I regret picking him over Raquel in that trade. Oh, my God. Now on a 9-game pointless streak, and he's really not shooting as much either. So I'm at a loss on what to do with him. I think at this point you just got to hold on to him because hopefully he turns it around at some point.
Yeah, Carter coming back might help if he can still play the game.
Well, that's honestly like the reason I picked Toffoli over Raquel was because I thought that ultimately Carter coming back would lead to Toffoli end of season being better than Raquel. Like over the end, as soon as Carter comes back, I thought that Toffoli would be better in the playoffs for me than Raquel. But we'll see. I'm probably still wrong.
All right, for me, first up here, Nick Leddy. 2 games played, no points, minus 5, 1 shot on goal, 4 hits. He's been on this list like 3 weeks running now.
Yes.
So not a good look. Next up, Mikhail Sergachev, who is on my sustainably low list on Wednesday. 2 games played, no points, minus 2, 2 shots, 3 hits, 3 blocks. His peripherals, other than his shots, are actually pretty decent, but I'm just really bearish on him now. And lastly here, Vladislav Namestnikov. 2 games played, no points, minus 1, 2 PIMs, 2 shots, and 1 hit.
Oof.
So really not a whole lot going on there.
And he's back on the top line, top power play.
Yeah, and didn't the Lightning win like 7-4 or something yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who scored the goals? Like, what happened?
Their new guy who's on Killorn, the fourth line.
Killorn got a bunch of them.
Some, like, Gort. Like, they're Killorn third and
fourth
lines.
Killorn has 3 points. Killorn has 4. Killorn had 5 points. Killorn had 5 points. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And then nobody... That was such a frustrating game for fantasy. Like, I bet you people who were watching that for fantasy reasons was just sitting there being like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's just one of those you got to laugh about. It was like nobody relevant scored for Tampa. It was stupid.
Stamkos did. He was a 6th goal, but yeah.
So yeah, well, he got 1 goal of 7. Of 7. Yep. That was it. That was frustrating. And mind you, moving into the week's most surprising games or biggest upsets, that was one of them for me. Tampa beating Calgary away 7-4. I didn't see that coming at all. Especially Calgary's been playing well. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, Tampa's been like okay.
Yeah,
they definitely come off their like crazy start.
Yeah, I mean they've been really losing ground on the President's Trophy race. Golden Knights have been gaining, and that was a really good win, honestly, for them. Chicago at Vancouver as well was surprising for me. Chicago losing 2-4. Didn't expect that one, and that was last night. And then the Kings at Dallas. The Kings haven't been able to score, and somehow they shut Dallas out 3-0.
Yep. And then they got shut out, didn't they?
Yep.
And they got shut out last night, I think. Yep. 5-0. I only have a couple. It was a short week, as we know. Anaheim at Ottawa, a 2-1 overtime victory for Ottawa at home, which was weird to me.
That is weird.
Anaheim is healthy for the most part, actually completely healthy now. So they, whatever, I don't know. And then next up here, Florida at the Islanders with their garbage goaltender winning 4-1.
That garbage goaltender had some of the best stats of the week.
Yeah. I mean, if you saw the quality of shots and the quality of saves, I would not be high on him at all.
No, I know.
So. He was dropping pucks and just like kind of getting lucky.
Yep.
But at the same time, the Islanders were just like playing like it was a preseason game or something. It was really weird to watch, and disappointing and horrible and bad hockey and made me feel bad about everything I do.
I'm so glad I didn't go to that game.
It was like one of the It was a 5-goal game, and it was one of the most boring games I've ever seen in my life. I was so bored.
Easily the most boring game I've ever watched on TV, I think.
It's not even that I'm, like, super salty that the Islanders lost. I am moderately salty, but It's just the quality of play was so bad. It was just, and everything looked so slow and just, ugh.
Yeah, that was anyway. Bad. I mean, it looked like your team was just full of lads. That's all it looked like.
Yeah, pretty much.
Since you need to take your mind off of that loss a little bit, how about you take us into the weekend pickup suggestions?
Sure. I'll start us off with the teams with good matchups this weekend. That would be Montreal at home against Anaheim and Ottawa. And they're, are they rested between those? I think they're probably tired against Ottawa, I would think.
Yes. No. They're wait. Yeah, I don't remember what I did there. I think one of them is back-to-back.
They're definitely back-to-back against Ottawa because Anaheim played last night and I think the night before that, so they're not playing tonight.
I think it's a Saturday-Sunday matchup.
Yeah, that makes sense. Then we've got Carolina at home against Detroit, tired tonight, and then versus San Jose on Sunday, and they're going to be not tired. And neither will San Jose, so there's going to be a rested game for both teams there.
Yep.
And we have St. Louis at Buffalo, and then the Golden Knights at Minnesota on the second half of a back-to-back tonight, and at Washington on Sunday. I'll move us right into the teams. I'll just carry us through, and then we'll go. You can take your picks in here.
Let's do it.
Teams with bad matchups. We have Washington at home against, or at Pittsburgh, rather, on tonight, that is. And then at home against the Golden Knights on Sunday. Then we have Pittsburgh at home against Washington tonight, and then at Jersey tomorrow. And then we've got Minnesota, and they're going to be back-to-back, and Jersey won't be tired. So, and then we have Minnesota versus the Golden Knights tonight, and the Golden Knights will be tired, and then at Dallas back-to-back on Saturday. And then we've got four teams playing Friday and Sunday and not Saturday, and Saturday being a big game slate. Those teams are Carolina, San Jose, Vegas, and Washington.
Yep. That's the Golden Knights are weird because they have a good match. They have hard teams, but the Golden Knights are just so good, and they have that Friday, Sunday slate, which is nice. Looking at that, my first suggestion is going to be here. Someone who I actually mentioned on Monday is Justin Williams, 19% owned on Yahoo, 26.2% on ESPN, so pretty big discrepancy there. Second line, second power play, but he's been on a really good stretch recently, and he's on a three-game point streak. Now, what's nice about Carolina, and I personally picked up Jordan Staal in my points league over Justin Williams, but the reason that I like Carolina a lot as an option, just as a streamer option for this weekend, is that their top two lines pretty much play equally. Like, whether you look at Jordan Staal, Elias Lindholm, Justin Williams, Victor Rask, any of those guys, they all fluctuate between 15 to 17 minutes.
Lindholm got demoted to the fourth line.
Oh, he did? So. Okay, I didn't see that. Daily Faceoff still had him on the top. Stupid Daily Faceoff. Left wing long, get it together and fix your sight. Damn it.
Yeah, so ugly.
But yeah, so like that's the nice thing about those top two lines is they fluctuate between 15 and 17. So in a way, you're almost having a 1A, 1B situation there. And I think that's why we're seeing Justin Williams go on these point streaks, just because he is getting opportunities at the top line otherwise would get sometimes. Moving on, just as a, I think, reminder for people who haven't seen this, David Perron, if you don't have him and he's on your wire, I would heavily recommend picking him up. He's better than a lot of people out there. He's 63% owned on Yahoo, 67.3% on ESPN. So that's your PSA for David Perron. And probably the last one because he's up 7% over the last day. So that means that just a day ago, he was at 60%, which is way too low. Samuel Girard in Colorado, 3% on Yahoo, 5.1% on ESPN. If you're in a very deep league, right now he's very interesting because he's still retaining that top power play spot, and that's now two games with Tyson Barry back. They've pushed Tyson Barry down to that second power play unit and kept Samuel Girard up, and he got a goal last night. So as long as he's on the top power play, I like him a lot. I have him in my keeper league, and I've been holding him for a while now. I'm very high on Samuel Girard, honestly. And the last one here, not so much from a matchup or a streamer perspective, but someone to keep an eye on that I'm definitely keeping a close eye on is Alexander Wenberg, 21% owned on Yahoo, 23.4% on ESPN. He's on the top line with Panarin now and getting 19 minutes of average time on ice over the last four games. His last two games bumped up to 20. So he's also on the top power play with Panarin, so I really, really like Alexander Wenberg. And we saw last year how good he could be at dishing out assists. And if Panarin and him can start clicking, I could see big, big things out of Alexander Wenberg. So just someone to keep an eye on as these weeks kind of continue that could be a sleeper that a lot of people dropped and definitely drafted him. And he's probably available in almost every league at this point.
Yep. I've got a bunch of guys that are like 40% owned, so I couldn't really find any. I wanted to find guys that are like specifically good for this weekend, which was difficult because you want to avoid that Saturday slate as best as possible. So hopefully one of these guys will be available in your league. First one here, the one I'm highest on, Tomas Hertl, 42% owned on Yahoo. I guess he's on the top line now with Couture. He's also on the top power play, which has not changed. And he's also riding a 3-game point streak, so good option there. Next up here, Teuvo Teravainen, 44% owned on Yahoo. Top line, top power play, assuming left wing lock is right and Elias Lindholm is no longer on that top line. He's got two home games, including one versus Dallas, Detroit, tonight. So there's definitely scoring potential there. And then I like Erik Haula, 43% owned on Yahoo. Technically the second line, but there's more of like a 1A, 1B. Technically the top pairing, but there's more of a 1A, 1B. So kind of, he's top-ish in both cases.
Yep.
He's riding a 7-game point streak with 9 points in those games. And he definitely has rest of season potential. So he's also a very good look, as I don't think his role is going to change at all for the rest of the season unless there's like significant injuries or something.
Yep.
Or a trade. Then lastly here, Tom Wilson, 35% owned on Yahoo. This is definitely a bangers league move. He's playing top line again with either Kuznetsov or Backstrom. I don't even know who centers anymore. I think it's Kuznetsov.
Yep.
Yeah. And Ovechkin, which means a couple things. It means he might get those like off the butt points where he's just kind of in the right place. And he's also going to get more minutes to more hitting, you know, and more chance of fights and whatnot. So he basically is going to be on the ice more. So it gives him more of a chance to, you know, board somebody and get thrown.
Yeah. Speaking of bangers leagues and hits leagues, by the way, if you haven't noticed, Mark Borowiecki is back. And in the last 2 weeks for Yahoo, he has 23 hits. So, you know, he kind of wins you hits alone. So just to note that he's a very interesting option where he can fill a defenseman spot that's maybe underwhelming and just win hits. And that opens you up to not need to worry about one whole category. Just a note there. Okay.
You just get Pims pretty much a pretty good rate too.
Yeah, he's a solid guy to just fill up those goon peripherals and not really have to worry about anything else. Okay, so let's move on to our top picks for tonight. Sorry, my heater turned on. I'm not sure why. There's a lot of sun and it's hot, but maybe that's just because I'm talking and have a lot of energy. Okay, top picks for tonight. Top overall pick, I'm going to go Malcolm Subban at Minnesota in Gwinnett. I think that's the best. There's a lot of hard matchups tonight. I don't really like a lot of them, like Pittsburgh and Washington. It's a little tough, but I do like the Golden Knights opportunities just because they're good. And it might be the second leg of a back-to-back, but Subban has also been good. And that's why I'm also going to say Jonathan Marchessault. He's cheaper than William Karlsson, and I like him better than William Karlsson. And they're at Minnesota. And I'm going to let you take yours because I actually agree with one of yours.
Yep. We both have Sebastian Aho here.
Yep.
I also have Jonathan Marchessault, so we agree on that one as well. And then I would add Teuvo Teravainen on the same line as Aho. And he's super cheap. He's right at the median. Or not the median, the mean.
Yep.
Then moving into my value picks, I would take Jordan Staal to fill that line out. He's also cheap. I like Colin Miller at Minnesota. He's been pretty good lately. Good chance for points against Minnesota. And then lastly here, Andreas Athanasiou at Carolina, kind of the other side of that matchup because I don't really like Carolina's goaltending either. And he's a nice cheap option.
Yep, I like that. And for me, I'm going to say David Perron at Minnesota, who somehow is below the mean. I don't understand this one bit. He's $5,400 on DraftKings. It makes no sense to me how he's that cheap. Brian Rust versus Washington. Like I said, I don't like Pittsburgh versus Washington. But when you go to some lineup builder or whatever, and you scroll all the way to the bottom and you scroll up until you find someone on good lines, the first guy you see is Brian Rust. So let's say you're trying to fill out a roster and you only have a few dollars left and you just need someone who's on a good line with maybe could get points, Brian Rust is a good option. Top line, second power play. Another guy that's pretty good, Elias Lindholm. They still have him listed as, I still saw him on Daily Faceoff as top power play, top line, top power play. So check your sources.
I saw him fourth top power play, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's weird. So I keep an eye on maybe the morning skates, see what happens. If Elias Lindholm goes back up to that top line, then he's very, very worth it because he is very cheap. But otherwise,
I would also mention if he does if that does happen, I would take him over Teravainen.
Yep.
I would just attack the whole line, basically. Whoever's on the right wing,
yeah,
take them.
Yep, that's, I think, the good move.
Either way, they're both going to be on the top power play, so whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you still get top power play regardless. And honestly, with Lindholm, there's also a chance that he just kind of is on the fourth line, but he gets some top line minutes. Like, he stays out there a little longer when the top line comes out, you know, that kind of thing. But that's it. That is our Friday episode. I think we do need to do a Saturday episode tomorrow because it's pretty wild.
Yep.
So we'll do our Saturday episode. It won't be very long, but it'll be something. It'll be helpful. And that is about it. I'm going to go listen to more rainforest sounds, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm going to go to work.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I should probably do that too. Thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening.